Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And what if going to Harvard were not the key to future earnings and or happiness that many parents assume? Would that lower your anxiety today about not only your child's future or maybe your grandchild's future or niece or nephew, but of that of your bank account? About a month ago, we spent part of the show talking about the college admissions process, and a 1999 study came up that has also come up here in the past that seemed to show that which college a student attended wasn't such an important indicator of future success. And so we're following up on that today with one of that paper's authors, Princeton economist Alan Krueger, and with Greg Easterbrook of the New Republic and the Brookings Institution, who has studied the larger issues of what school, how much money, how much impact on your life. Welcome back to WNYC, Greg, and welcome, Professor Krueger.
Good morning.
Hi.
So, Professor Krueger, tell us about your study. What were you looking to measure and when?
Well, this was a study I conducted together with Stacy Dale, who's now at Mathematica Policy Research. And we used a data set called the College and Beyond Survey, which consists of students who were freshmen at moderately selective to highly selective colleges in 1976. And we looked at their earnings later in 1995, 1996, when they were kind of at the prime earnings years. And what we found is that the students who went to the highly selective, most elite colleges did, in fact, earn considerably more than those who went to the moderately selective schools. And that's what other people had found before. But there's a concern in those kinds of comparisons that you're not comparing individuals who are otherwise the same. And, of course, students who get into highly selective schools do well in high school. They're highly motivated. Maybe it's those factors that were responsible for the differences in earnings. So what we came up with in this paper was a new strategy for estimating the effect of the college one attends on subsequent outcomes. In particular, what we did was we matched students who had the same set of options, who applied to the same set of colleges and were accepted and rejected by the same set of colleges. And within that group, it didn't seem to matter very much if the students went to the highly selective school or the moderately selective one. And in fact, even if you look at students who applied to similar set of schools, regardless of whether they were accepted or not, it didn't seem to matter very much if they went to the more selective school.
So would that generalize to an Ivy League or other top private school versus a state university?
They were certainly represented in our sample, and I don't want to oversimplify the results because I think it's wrong to say the college that someone goes to doesn't matter for their future success.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it does matter for their future success, but not in such a simple one-size-fits-all way in which you could say there's just a linear ranking and just go to the most elite school. For some students, that's the right choice, and for others, it's not the best choice. And, you know, when you look within the Ivy League, there's diversity. Cornell has excellent engineering, and Harvard has fairly weak engineering. So what I think is important is for parents and students to look very closely at what the school puts into the child's education. Are the school's strengths a match with the student's potential interests?
Greg Easterbrook, this is one of the studies that you reviewed in your 2004 article in the Atlantic Monthly, right?
Yes, it is, of course.
So what's the larger question that you were looking to answer, and where does this study fit in?
Well, I think it fits in the kind of pressure that high school kids are subjected to now. We live in a society of rising affluence and rising concern with status markers and clothes and cars and everything else. And I think some confusion has entered this on the college scene. An awful lot of high school kids, especially high-achieving high school kids, feel that the status attached to attending an elite college has become an essential part of their life, and that there's some incredible distinction between whether you go to the 8th-ranked college in the U.S. News poll or the 22nd-ranked college. There'll be some huge difference between those two things. And the day the college acceptance letters come has become a day of far too much pressure and stress in the average high school student's life. It's very important in modern society that you do go to college. There's a clear, all the studies show, very bright line distinction between not going to college and going to college, how you end up in life. And if you have your choice between a good college and a bad college, it's certainly true that you're a lot better off picking the good college. But beyond that, the obsession with rankings and status and trying to figure out who's number 18 and who's number 12 is very silly. All the research shows, including Alan and Stacey's, that any of the top 50 to 100 colleges will produce approximately the same life outcome result because college is what you make it, and it's more how the student performs than the exact ranking of the school that you get into.
I noticed that in your Atlantic Monthly article, you actually used Who's Who to see where U.S. senators went to school. What did you find?
Yeah, these data are 3 years old. It was a 2004 article, but more than half of the members of the United States Senate did not attend elite institutions. A lot of them not only went to public institutions, but they went to the states. They went to Chico State, Kansas State, et cetera. In 2004, only 4 of the 10 CEOs of the top Fortune 500 companies had gone to elite institutions. Lee Scott, the CEO of Walmart, the largest corporation in the world, went to Pittsburgh of Kansas, and it doesn't seem to have stopped him in life. Any kid who's facing a choice, you know, if you had some kind of hypothetical choice of should I go to Williams or should I go to Towson State, and please, Towson State grads, don't take this personally, you'd be crazy not to pick Williams. But if your choice was should I go to Williams or should I go to Bucknell, you shouldn't worry about the rankings at all because they're both completely fabulous schools. You're going to get a great education in both places, and the status concern is just there's too much pressure on this with modern kids.
We can take a few phone calls on this from some of you. I know a lot of parents and others wonder about this. And finally, we have two guests who've really looked into the literature, one of them who generated some of the literature, Professor Kruger from Princeton and journalist Greg Easterbrook, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. But Professor Kruger, I do want to mention this. You did find an advantage in attending highly selective schools for low-income students, correct?
That's right, and I would like to emphasize that because most of the selective colleges don't put any weight on children's financial background in admissions. It looks like they're treated the same as everyone else, even though they may have had a lot more challenges growing up. And those are the students who seem to benefit the most from going to the highly selective schools. And I think it makes some sense. Going to an elite school opens up doors for students from lower-income families that a well-off student already probably had open to them.
So the famous connections, the old boys club or now the old girls club, since more women are going to college than men, that opens up by way of making contacts. If you're a poor kid and you wind up getting into Harvard, that it matters more than if you're that same kid with those same grades and you go to Binghamton?
I think that's probably part of it. I think it's not only the contacts. I think it's also kind of learning the culture the business leaders of the world and political leaders of the world come from. And that is, by and large, what you're exposed to more at the elite schools. I think that's a lot more valuable for the students in the lower-income families. But I would underscore something that Greg said. I think students can get an excellent education almost anywhere. And the amount of talent on the faculty distributed throughout the country is quite deep. And a large number of students are also going on to graduate school. So where they go to college matters less if they do well wherever it is that they go, and they go to a graduate school, which is going to help put them on a higher trajectory.
Tom in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom. Tom, you're on the air. Okay. Yes, you, Tom. Go.
I'm an architect, and when I came to New York from a Midwestern school, I found I could not get an interview with the prestigious architects. And I have a friend whom I live with who went to school in France, and she got into all these places. I think that I radically believe I got as good an education as if I'd gone to a new school, but you certainly don't have the contacts and you certainly don't have the prestige to go into a company or an office and ask for an interview.
So that's an interesting question. And Greg, if the prestige factor is a factor, then if you're applying, I don't know, maybe to a top architecture firm or a top law firm or something like that for an entry-level job out of college, and they see Harvard or they see Bucknell, then it might make a difference, right?
I would say that's probably still true, especially with law firms. Both data and anecdote suggest that law firms are still exceptionally concerned with prestige and look for prestige markers, including at the undergraduate level. I think it's a lot less true in the business world than it used to be. Say 50 years or so ago, to get into the business world, to have gone to an Ivy League school or to Stanford or Chicago or one of the top-rated ones, was really important because at that time education was much more stratified and class conscious than it is today. Today, I think most businesses are interested in performance, and they're much more readily concerned with how their candidates perform on the mm-hmm. job, and they'd much rather have some kid from Lehigh who's a top performer than right. some kid from Brown who sits around not accomplishing
and
very
maybe
much.
In the law school example, we need to mention that law school is a graduate school, and maybe it matters more in grad school than it does in undergrad?
I think the last degree may matter more. And I think it's also the case that, you know, in the study that I did, I was looking at students 20 years after they started college. It may be that having a prestigious degree helps you at the entry level, but the cream rises to the top. And I do think in the investment banks, for example, they are looking at just a small number of selective schools. Mm-hmm. But if the students don't perform, they're out. And that would be true in an architecture firm or a law firm. And then someone who starts with a less prestigious degree can work their way up. So I think when we look at them at mid-career, where they went to college didn't matter very much.
Adam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Brian. I'd just like to talk about my experience. I'm actually from New Jersey, but a lot of kids in my high school are applying to Ivy League schools. I actually recently got into Hamilton College, which is a small liberal arts school, but I think you're absolutely right. There's just this huge, huge rush to get into college, and it's just, quite frankly, it's ridiculous. You see kids applying to like 15 or 20 different schools, and I ask them, well, why are you doing that? And they're like, well, I'm not sure where I'm going to get into, and I don't want to go to half these schools, but I want to have options. And the rush for Ivy League, like, People are so obsessed with getting into Ivy League schools, but it seems a little silly because only 5 kids a year end up going there anyway. Yeah.
So, Adam, you're a high school senior.
Yeah.
And your testimony to the fact that there is this obsession about Ivy League schools. Well, Professor Krueger from Princeton, where does money come into this equation? Because I'll bet some parents are listening and saying, well, you know, if we send our kids to any elite private school, we're just going to be totally stressed out and maxed out, and it's going to affect our retirements and, you know, those kinds of considerations, even though our kid is really, really smart and has the potential to get into these elite private schools. But we could send them to Rutgers. We could send them to SUNY Binghamton. You know, where does that come in?
Well, I think money is a consideration. As an economist, it's hard to say money shouldn't be a consideration. The question is, you know, what do you get for your investment? And it's also the case that for moderate-income families, most of the Ivy League schools give fairly generous financial aid. That's certainly the case at Princeton and at Harvard. But money isn't the same thing as being selective. And Hamilton is not a cheap college. I gave a guest lecture up at Hamilton a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. It's a place where the faculty really are devoted to teaching. And a student might get a lot more attention at Hamilton than at a school which is harder to get into or more elite. And what I think is important is to look at what you're getting for your money, to look at, is this a school where the faculty are actually in the classroom or the class is being taught by graduate students? Are the strengths of the school in the fields that your child is interested in, or are they in a different area which builds the school's prestige but doesn't help your child at all? So I think you have to look at what you're getting for your investment.
Glenn in Bayside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Glenn.
Yes, good morning, Brian. I am a test consultant and college consultant that's been working in the field about 15 years now. And over this time, I think I've seen an interesting trend being driven in this area from parents who have immigrant backgrounds. Apparently, many of them come to the United States, do very well, but they come from societies or environments in which there may only really be three or four good university or college choices. They bring this attitude into the United States, and they feel if their offspring does not get into Harvard, Princeton, or Yale, that's it. They're done. And a lot of the time that we spend doing stuff here is sort of debunking that myth, reminding them that the United States contains almost a third of all colleges and universities on Earth, and that there are many, many good choices and many potentially good matches.
So their legacy to their second-generation children is a top-flight degree and $100,000 of debt to start out life.
Very much so. And it is fortunate that, yes, many of those schools are more need-blind in their admissions, but the pressure that is brought to bear on many of these students who are almost close to tears if they get that thin envelope rather than the heavy one is just something that really just seems to hurt them in the long run.
Thanks, Glenn. And we're almost out of time, but Professor Krueger, you did a New York Times economics scene column on your study, and you had two pieces of advice in the end. You tell students not to panic if they don't get into an elite college, and you had advice for elite colleges. What was that?
Well, I think the elite colleges ought to think about for whom do they do the most good. And I think, as you brought up, I think it's for lower-income children and possibly for children of immigrants as well. And I think they need to take that into account in financial aid packages and in admissions. And I think we see it to some extent in financial aid, or to a large extent in financial aid. We don't see it at all in admissions.
Greg Easterbrook, a last word?
I think people have to understand the extent to which the medium good colleges have improved in the United States in the last two generations. 1950, there were probably maybe only 20, 25 really great schools. And so if you had a bright student who didn't get into one of those schools, it was a big disappointment. Today, the median strength colleges have improved so much that there's 50 to 100 really high-quality colleges and universities in the United States. For a good student, as long as you get into one of them, you're going to be fine, and good students almost always get into one of those 100 colleges.
Princeton economist Alan Krueger and Greg Easterbrook of the New Republic and the Brookings Institution. Very informative. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And up next, are you turning your kids into praise junkies? We will look at the research on good and bad forms of praise and their effects.